We have felt such a strong, strong presence of God thus far in this service. He is doing things inside of our innermost man that go beyond description. 1 Peter 4:18, as I've already said, "And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" And the word righteous means those that observe divine laws. I want to teach on the power of words. As remarkable as this may sound, words are one of the most powerful tools and weapons in the earth. I said words are one of the most powerful tools and weapons in the earth. Someone said, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me." Never has anything been more incorrect. That's very incorrect. The power of words, words are so powerful that God Himself had to speak words, formulate from thought into words to create. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, he says, "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices or his purposes." I'm speaking this morning to a group of people that you are not ignorant of Satan's purposes. He has one main major purpose, and that is to keep you disconnected from God. If you have made that connection, he will do whatever he can to break that connection. And his devices that we are not ignorant of are words. I know we may not have ever thought like that, but let me express what I feel like I see this morning. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He begins to speak words. Here are Adam and Eve in a perfect paradise, well cared for with everything they need. Satan didn't like it. So he speaks words. And the woman said to the serpent, "Well, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said words, "You will not die." From the very beginning, God has tried to allow us to understand we will listen to either the word of God or we will listen to the word of the world. You're thinking right now, I know exactly how you're thinking. I've said it many times, all of humanity thinks identically. We all think in words. Without words, you cannot formulate actions. Without words, you can't even bring together thoughts. And therefore, we all think in words. Therefore, in order to have thoughts, we must formulate those words. And let me just express this. That means that words can formulate thoughts. And thoughts are what become actions. So if my thoughts have to formulate words to do action, then the enemy understands that the greatest tool he has, if thoughts form words to become actions, then he recognizes that words can create thoughts. And therefore, he needed a new paradigm in the mind of the man and the woman that were walking by their thinking that was predicated on the word they had received from God. And Satan understood, because they are thinking this way, the only way I can change their thoughts is with a new set of words. Therefore, he spoke a lie. Now, if it's true that words are one of the most powerful weapons on the earth, weapons that can be used for bad, weapons that can be used for good, if I'm on to anything at all, I want to read Ephesians chapter 2. "We are not ignorant of his devices," speaking of the God of this world. Remember, God is not the God of this world. Satan is the God of this world. This world already has an appointment with a fiery indignation when God comes back to take this warring planet over. But he first has sent a lifeboat, his son, Jesus Christ, who's willing that none should perish, but all can escape in him. Because the day is coming when he will reclaim paradise, and never again will he allow. But in Ephesians chapter 2, speaking of the workings of darkness, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world. I want you to pay close attention to me this morning. Why would you come if you're not going to pay attention? When in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Satan has used and always used the airwaves to spread his word and formulate our thoughts. And Satan's thoughts and Satan's words only are made to do one thing, and it's not to have you go slaughter babies or worship Satan inside of a pentagram. It's just simply to produce worldly thinking. It's that simple. A lot of good people will not be in the ark when it sails, because goodness has absolutely nothing to do with salvation. Let me continue on. He says, now, the God of the air, he says this, at one time in whom we had our conversation. Why did we have our conversation in the God of the air? Because his words are what caused our thoughts. Therefore, our conversation wasn't anything like it is when we have now entered into the kingdom of light. Are you following that? And he says, now the spirit that works in the children of disobedience, ooh, the spirit of the airway, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. It was due to the lust of our flesh and the fulfilling of the desires of our flesh and of our mind. And we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin. I remember a movie about Apollo. One of the men wasn't allowed to go because he had a disease, they found out. It's really hard for us to contemplate and to really receive and grasp. You're already dead. Let the dead bury the dead. Your life appears for such a short while as a vapor. None of us believe that when we're young and dynamically full of energy, dreams, visions. But our joints and our minds and our muscles have a way of reminding us as the years go by, we're already dead. We're just waiting to fall over. And there's nothing you can do about it. There's not anything anyone has ever done to beat it yet. And so the God of the air has done his best to make sure he keeps you busy with all the things of the world so you cannot find the life raft. Let me move on. He's raised us together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, speaking of Christ. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse number 7, and this is the main thrust of this teaching this morning. In the New Testament, God's Word speaks of something that took place in the Old Testament, something all of us will be very familiar with. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. I want you to understand this morning how Lot was vexed. He was vexed with the words of the people he ran with. He was vexed with the words of those he associated with. He was vexed with the words of those that he heard from. And the word vexed in this particular verse simply means to tire down, to exhaust, as with labor. And I want you to notice, as I've already said, that it was the conversation that wearied or that tired Lot. It vexed him daily. It wore him out. It wore him down. It goes on to say in the next verse, 2 Peter 2:8, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, what he saw and what he heard finally wore him out, vexed his righteous soul day to day because of their unlawful deeds. Now, the enemy uses many devices to wear us down or to vex us or to weary us. This is why the Bible responds, you know, don't grow weary in well-doing. In Genesis chapter 27, Rebekah says to her husband Isaac, I am weary of life because of the daughters of Heth. If my other son Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, such as these which are of the daughters of the land, my life's worthless. What good has my life done me? And you can study and find out that in Genesis 26, verse 34 and 35, that Esau was 40 years old, and he took to him wives that were of the lineage of Canaan from the Hittites. And it says in verse 35, they were a grief of mind unto Isaac and Rebekah. Now, a grief of mind, a wearing down children, families. And how is it that a grief of mind could weary and wear down this woman? Real simply. Because what she was saying is, just as Lot was vexed by where he had moved, a place called Sodom, and he sat in the gate, and what he saw and what he heard every day finally vexed his righteous soul, wore him down, wearied him, and wore him out. This woman that loved her children understood that the Bible talks about being not unequally yoked. And God understands, because when we yoke ourselves to someone or something that is speaking words that are not in alignment with the mind of God, how could two walk together except they be in agreement, then it won't be long until our thoughts will be changed because of the continual wearing down and wearying by what's being spoken. We grow weary listening to lies. We grow weary listening to the insanity of the world. We grow weary of the music of the world. We grow weary of needless nudity and sex scenes and otherwise movies that would be enjoyable even to Christians. The God of the air has infiltrated our television shows, our video games. We've become weary of the words that glamorize sin. We've become weary of the thoughts that the words in songs and the lies told by governments, and weary of the words of a new morality that are being spoken. Words are being used, as I speak, to create barriers that block our living a Christian lifestyle. Words are being used to stop public prayer, to eradicate public preaching. Words are even being used to build a campaign to control what ministers can and cannot say in sermons. No wonder that Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap a reward if we faint not. So Lot is at the gate of Sodom. There is no new thing under the world, under the sun. I want you to remember that Lot was just like you and I, that he had left his home. I'm not speaking this morning to a room full of sinners. I'm speaking to a room full of people that have left who they were for the journey towards the promised land. And so the warning, the Bible says, what was written for our admonition in the Old Testament, that we understand that the Bible says that he left Abraham. He left the one that had told him about the one God. He left the one that had told him that it was God that was leading them. And it didn't make Lot bad or bad, but remember, Lot had left his home to journey to the promised land with Abraham. I want you to understand that Jesus himself wants us to remember that Lot and his family started out with what you started out with, and that is great blind faith. Most of us, those of you that have been born again of the Spirit, you came to a place to where you believed God could do anything to you and through you. You believed in He could heal diseases. You believed He could provide. You believed this. You believed that. And the only reason you believed it is someone spoke the word to you. You are a product of what you're hearing. I want you to listen closely this morning. You are a product of what you are hearing. You are a product of what you are associating with. And Jesus himself, Doug, wants us to remember Lot, because in Luke chapter 17, verse 32, put it on the screen if you would, please. Jesus himself says, remember Lot's wife? Now Lot, that was headed for the promised land, separated himself from the Word. The one that was speaking the paradigm of the pathways of God. And Lot placed now his family in the middle of an environment of words that were designed for deceiving and captivating souls. This is what the enemy does. He's learned Satan's job. He's learned very well, if I tell him a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. Our government knows if we will tell half-truth, that's a lie. The best way to deceive someone, and we all are easily deceived, and we live in a world of deception, and it's deception through words. Satan uses words just like God uses words, but God's word don't deceive. God's word's enlightened. So words eventually program or reprogram Lot's family's thoughts, which change their actions. I tell you that even though he lived in the middle of Sodom, he probably could have made it. His family probably could have made it. But Shaul, the reason he could not make it in Sodom, and the reason that he continually became vexed and more wearied and wearied, and his family finally gave up. Remember Lot's wife? She couldn't even get it out of her heart. His sons-in-law didn't even trust in his witness anymore, because words being the most powerful thing in the earth, him listening every day, he may have made it except one thing. He had cut himself off from hearing the word that's more powerful than the words of deception. Now, I want everyone to look right here. Everyone, please, in this room, look right here. How much Word of God do you have in you right now? You are no match for the God of the airwaves. I've seen better, smarter, more dedicated than you that are now 7 times worse than they were when they were delivered. You have no idea where he wants you to end up, your family to end up, your children to end up. When he said, get your child and raise them in the way they should go, and when they are old, they shall not depart from it. How do you raise that child in the way he should go? You instruct them in the word of the Lord. We now live in a generation where those that have had no instruction of the word of the Lord, because words are most powerful, and those of us that are Christians have not a clue how the people that are running our government, how America has become what it's become. It's because you're now seeing a generation of people that have never had anything but the word of the world to think with. Therefore, they have no idea how you think. You have no idea how they think. Oh, hold on. So Lot recognized that words eventually had reprogrammed his family, because they're the most powerful things on earth. And he had placed himself to where there was no place to hear the word of God. I have people say to me, well, what do you do for your kids? Well, we put them next door and feed them pizza and Cokes, because that'll bless them. Let me tell you something. Children hearing even what I'm saying this morning, and it's a very adult message, can receive more in their cranium than some of us, because it'll filter through. It doesn't have as many layers of junk to overcome. You have learned to be combative. Your spirit man. Well, I don't know about that. Or he said this, I don't like him. I can't. It doesn't matter whether you like the speaker or don't like the speaker. If he's sharing the word of God, it is the word of God we came to hear. And when you get to where the word of God's not important, you're well on your way to Sodom. Oh, can I finish this? You see, what happens is our thoughts and what we believe adapts to what we daily hear and daily see. and the environment around us, as it grows dimmer, our eyes begin to become accustomed to it. And as our eyes become accustomed to it, suddenly an amazing thing happens, because our ears stop blushing from what we continually hear. Our filter is broken. What at one time was offensive, what at one time was lewd, what at one time was crude, now your mind begins to adapt to this new spoken Sodom morality, all because you cannot stop what you are having to hear every day, and you have set yourself off from hearing what Abraham delivered to you, Lot. I get calls continually from people in this congregation. Pastor, what can I do to help? I always get a chuckle out of that, because I'm going to tell you what you can do to help. You make every service that the word is being spoke, because you don't realize you need it. There has never been a generation under such an onslaught of reprogramming as in the world right now, from presidents to priests to whomever. We are being programmed from the top to the bottom of a new morality and a new age. And the truth of the matter is, they came very comfortable in Sodom, and finally they actually accepted in part what it was that had been spoken to them. No, it wasn't that Lot was in agreement with what others heard and saw, but he accepted it. It was for others. The first phase of the power of words is now done exactly what it was intended to do, and that is worn down your position and positioned you into a totally different walk, because you now have entered the vexing of your soul, and you've entered into James 1:8, where now you are a double-minded man and you have become unstable in all of your ways. The first step is you learn how to enjoy the world and still come to church. You learn how to enjoy the world and still listen to some of the Word of God. But you cannot stay there forever. This is a message of love. And a smart person hears and understands and recognizes, I have got to either choose which way I'm going to go, because you cannot stay neutral forever. Who you listen to long enough is what you will begin to think like. And he who controls your information controls you. And if you are not combating the word of the airwaves with the word of God, then what shield have you? Because the last time I checked, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the TV. Our faith has never been at such an all-time low. That's because we've never had such an onslaught of vexation from every turn, from billboards to magazines to advertisements to Facebook. We've never had so many witty diversions. We've never had so much deception. To be a Christian in this generation means, I believe in Santa Claus, I believe in Jesus, and he's into everything I'm doing. I have no idea what his word says. I am not a follower of the divine commandments. I can't even quote them. And we claim righteousness. If the righteous scarcely be saved. Do you know this morning the world has as much faith as most Christians in church? Their faith is in what they believe, not in fact. It's not fact-based whatsoever. And I'll go ahead and make this statement, and I'm smiling while I make it. I have made a lot of statements in the last 23 years from this pulpit. One being that before the coming of the Lord, we would see such a return to the teaching of Jewish roots. That has come about. But the other thing that I am now seeing, and I'm speaking as an old man now, the other thing that I have also said that I have seen would happen in the last hour is that we would see, just as everything was written for our admonition, as an example to us, we saw where there were 12 tribes, and we saw where two of the tribes, Judah and Benjamin, remained true to the word of God, and where the other 10 tribes departed, and yet they were all Israelites. And the 10 tribes became the lost tribes, and they were the majority. And the two tribes cleaved to the temple, and the things of God. And we now, for the first time, are seeing generations of ministry that have been raised not on Holy Ghost, that have been raised not in adapting their lives to following the Word, but they have listened to another voice, and they have learned how to mesmerize the monkey of creation and appeal to the masses, and have acquired a following and made it about everything except the Word. And still put, we're Israel. We're Christians. I believe I am. And yet, if you lay their life on one of the most powerful things given, the Word, as the temple, what else will God use? You owe it to yourself, sir, to know what this Word says. Not what Granddaddy said. Not what Grandma said. Because the voice you're listening to in the garden is very subtle. And it has one intention. Deception at any cost. Oh, God didn't mean that. So in Sodom, I sat. I partnered with a new environment. We've been warned in 2 Corinthians, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship is righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? Can I tell you something? I have sat for over 30 years. It is so easy to watch people's spiritual posture. They begin to spend more time in the foyer. They begin to move back in their seats. Their church attendance begins to fail and fall. Their friends become more in the world than in the house of God. And before long, they really don't have the Bible by the bed any longer. And it's not Christian TV they watch that fulfills them. I'm not here to be a preacher and to beat you over the head. I'm here to speak love and to say there is a road that leads to Dallas, and someone turned off to Centerville, and you can't get to Dallas and head east. You can't get to Dallas and head west. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the only way you can know you're on the path is to not separate yourself from Abraham and go dwell in Sodom and listen to the words of the serpent. You've got to stay connected with the Word of God. And therefore, when God goes on and says, come out from among them and be ye separate, that doesn't even ring true in our thinking any longer. Because at one time, when the people of God were the greatest thing we'd ever found, and when the people of God were exciting, we couldn't wait to testify, and we couldn't wait to tell someone about Jesus, and we couldn't wait to bring someone to church and see them delivered from sin. The vexing of the soul, to where we finally give up and give over to the ways of Sodom. I'll try to hurry and say it like this. We now, if we're not careful, when we remove ourselves from the words of God and begin to walk in the words of the world, we become as that righteous man that vexed his soul, Lot. And that begins with this. Listen closely. The first thing that happened was Lot that brought his family there, his witness was no longer effective, even with his own family. To accept what the world says, to live like the world, to join up with them, even though you don't become a total part of the most degrading things they do, has just diminished your witness, and you have a witness now that is no longer effective. And the problem is the power of words. Our children don't just hear the words of what we speak, they hear the words of what we act. And now that they are seeing the actions of the parents that have made friends again with the world, no wonder he couldn't get them out of Sodom. Lot's wife would never escape Sodom. His sons-in-law were trapped in Sodom as well. How? By the brainwashing of the words they daily received that vexed their minds. It took angels to pull Lot and his two daughters out of Sodom. I want to express this, and this sounds so old-fashioned, you won't hear this on your local best preaching TV station. Are you monitoring what your kids are into on the internet? Are you monitoring what is going into their innocent little minds? Because once they open some doors, you're not going to get them closed. Would everyone look right here for a moment, please? Look right here. I want you to listen to me. And you don't understand that when they're 7 through 14, that they are raised. And don't come crying to us and ask for special prayer and this and that. When you sat on church pews and never ordained enough in your emotional status to recognize that God's Word was the only way, we are begotten by the Word, and if you didn't take time to teach them the Word or them see the importance of the Word in your life, and you've turned them over to the world, and now you wonder why you have no control, you can't program a computer one way and then get the outcome you want. We are in a warfare. And a man that recognizes that does not entangle himself in this world. I'm going to make a statement, and we won't like it at all, but we would be better off if we turn off the TV and get rid of our cell phones for 30 days to where we could get an original thought in our mind and hear the voice of God and begin to get to a place to where we could come into a state of purity again. We have so vexed ourselves with the filthy conversations of this world. It took angels to pull Lot and his two daughters out of Sodom, and the only reason God sent those angels was Abraham was his friend. So he did it for Abraham. Do you know what one of the types of people God is going to cast into the lake of fire of judgment? Does anybody want to know? Revelations 21 and 8. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burned with fire and brimstone. Why? God hates a lie. Because that's words. And words form thoughts. And thoughts form actions. And when I tell false words, so who is the father of all lies? Satan. And everything you see that doesn't align with the Word of God is a lie. Therefore, all liars. There's nothing we love more in this church than people that can tell truth. The whole truth and nothing but the truth. I caught a fish, it was that big. Well this, well that. It starts with little things. He that repeats a matter. The power of words. All that speak untruth. Lot's problem was not what he and his family heard and saw every day. Lot had a more serious problem than that. He had separated himself from the most powerful words in the world. And that's the Word of God. I want to just say this, and I'm done almost. When you quit hearing this, you're on your way out. If you don't like hearing it here, then you better find someplace you like, but make sure you're hearing it. Because this is the only hope you have. Your feelings will lie to you because feelings are thought produced and thoughts are word produced. And even though we must think in words, the God of the air has understood that He can change the words and change your thoughts. Sean, go ahead and play. You remember what Eve in the garden happened to her? The serpent lied. He used words. He changed her actions. The fatal flaw that Lot made with himself and his family was not what he had to hear in Sodom. The fatal flaw that he and his wife made is they removed themselves and their family from people that spoke the truth of the Word of God. Would you stand with me this morning? God's Word, the lamp unto our feet. God's Word, which is life. God's Word, which is peace. God's Word, which is joy. We can't spiritually survive on a diet of the words of the world without becoming devil-minded. When I cut off my family from hearing God's word, I've just committed spiritual suicide. And their vision and your vision becomes vexed, and our actions will begin to change, and our faith will begin to waver. Our church attendance will begin to lose importance. The things of God will begin to lose importance. Why? It's the things of the world that are important. Because the seed of the serpent has sprouted a stronghold, and that stronghold has developed when we hear the lie continually. And it's built a barrier that blocks God's power. And that power in a believer's life is God's word and faith in His word. And when we depart from the hearing of God's word, we don't any longer have a moral compass to guide us. And that child that was supposed to have been trained up in the way he should go has become now a generation in power over our laws, over our thinking. To believe that we have a government that is no longer for the people and by the people, but believes because of what they've been told, they can make a decision that overrides you and your thinking. Their thoughts are not your thoughts. Their faith is not your faith. How can it be? They've never read. They've never heard God's word. And they've been now trained and educated to never give it a chance because this new generation has never had the privilege of a praying mom. It's never had the privilege of a father that was faithful to God, that opened his Bible at the kitchen table. It's never had the experience of a Sunday school teacher that called to check on them, and it's never sat this generation through a boring church service, but at least the seed of the Word of God was planted. Or dinner on the grounds. All the things that we've gotten to experience that the enemy so wants to suck out of your life and fandangle the enticement of the words of pleasures of this world. Sodom has now separated Lot from Abram, and the only thing that can bring them back is the Word of God. The problem is Sodom has decided to outlaw the word. And faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of his word that liveth and abideth forever. There is a power that will change your life. It is the word of God incarnate. I'm going to do something very old-fashioned this morning. I'm just going to say the front of this building is opened as a tribute and an altar to lead you closer to Him. Maybe you're listening by podcast this morning and you recognize that you've heard some truth and you've become a little unstable in your walk. And I'll promise you it's because you're having less word than you've ever had. World speaking to your life that's ever spoken.